cliffcentral.com.
Please be aware that this show contains crude and foul language. If you are sensitive to topics like science or religion, we cordially invite you to please fuck off now. Thank you.
Good morning. This is live. This is moi. We are here for the Casper Radio Show. It feels like ages. I feel like I've been away forever. And here with me is Shemaine and Gavin.
Hello.
Hello, Casper.
Hello, Casper.
Hello, my darling.
How you doing?
I'm so fine. Oh, Nikki, I'm so fine.
I missed you guys.
I did.
For the first time ever, I missed you guys. Because usually I miss the listeners and the interaction and things, but I actually missed, like, you guys.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to know. So you actually crave more for like Cindy and Francois and Rulof and whoever. The listeners.
Oh, yes, the listeners. Yes. Oh.
I'm like so hurt. I'm like, damn, yeah. They don't even know you. You don't know you, but you miss them. You don't miss
But this is your game. You guys are professional. The listeners are special in the sense that there are people that are appreciating like your work.
Listen,
you know?
We know you're a PA. What do you call that thing that you do? Again, where you help people further their careers into something
branding.
Amazing.
Branding.
Yeah, that's what you're trying to do. You want people, hey?
Oh, Gavin, won't you read the WhatsApp number, please?
So, believe on Zulfan Hilo, where our WhatsApp number is 079-748-2092.
Afrikaans, asseblief, Shemaine.
Oh, 079-748-2090. Dit was my algemene beskaafde Afrikaans.
Dis prachtig. Dit is mooi, die middel Afrikaans. Ek wil net sê, I'm back from outer space. I just sit here with a smug look upon my face. Shall I quit this bloody show? Can you tell me, let me know, did you think for just 1 second that I would let my baby go? Oh, no, no, no. I will survive. Kan ons asseblief vanmôre begin deur 'n spesiaal, wel, ons gaan 'n klomp liedjies hê vir president Zuma. Hier is die eerste ene, You Fucked Up, is sy naam. Daar kom hy. Yeah.
Radio Show.
Ek nie besef jy fucked up so kort nie. Ek is al besig om goed in line te kry hierso toe dit verby.
Oh my God! But that is absolutely appropriate. I've got no words.
I got no words, but I got lots of music today for him.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you first of all that we do get people saying hello, and Gavin, someone did agree with you.
Of course.
Can you read to the Oma?
And yeah, Oma kan nie, maar Oma kan toe daar kom.
Ons hou van Oma.
Lees, laat ons 'n bietjie hoor.
Okay, where are you going to read? Here, on me.
Yeah, I'll read on you.
Maar jy moet hier lees. Want as jy daar ver staan, dan hoor mens fokkel.
Ja, okay. Precies.
Moet ek net daai ene lees of soek jy die ander?
Nee, lees maar vir alles wat jy wil.
Okay. Let me just have this on record. Casper is putting my face in his crotch. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Sê iemand hier so, Cassie, lekker om jou weer te hoor. Maar daar's nie 'n naam nie.
Dis Helen Keller.
All right. Hello, Helen. And then...
Hello, Helen.
Rolf hier, by the way.
Rolf.
Rolf. Dis Rolf.
Oh, dis nie Helen Keller nie. Hello, Rolf.
Hello, Rolfie.
Okay, here's Gavin's person. Yes, Gavin. Ek feel jou. Ek het julle allemaal gemis en is baie blij om julle te hoor. Laat my lach asseblief na ons pressiepoes en nieuwe keuse. Okay, God dank vir mense soos Chelsea Handler, Stephen Fry en natuurlijk Casper en Key.
Wow!
Humor deur dinge te dra. Bisou, Frans vir kisses uit Frankrijk. Jakob.
Oh, ja, cool. Ons is verskrikkelijk lief vir jou. Ek praat namens die hele span en sê, ons love jou.
Ja, weet jy wat nou, Bisou, of Bisou, soos jy, moet daar fonetisch geskryf, Jakob.
Hy sê,
ons is van die ka. Ja, je Bisou.
Nou, kom ons begin by die begin, soos hulle altyd sê. En kom ons kyk, wat, Jesus.
Kort jy 'n bietjie gewyde musiek?
Nee, ek het net myself 'n bietjie opgedraai hierso. Wat het gebeur?
Nice phone, Cassie.
Oh, I had it a long time. Kom ons kyk wat het gebeur in die verlede.
Hoe ver in die verlede?
Wel, 31 maart is ons nie, ons is op die drempel van 1 april alweer.
Ja.
En dit is die tyd van die herfs. Die blare begin val.
Dis Gavin se verjaarsdag maand, jy.
Oh, when do you birthday?
20 April.
Oh.
And it's not on a Friday.
Dis so fun.
I just want to say that I will not be here next week, but then after that, I will be here for a long, long time.
Yes, I still want to know all about your travels and your thing.
We will talk. I just want to say that next week we will have the second of our consistory omnibuses, because here ons het baie episodes om intals. We had 2 hours of consistory omnibus a few weeks ago, and now we got to have another 2 hours, and then by then we should be all wrapped up and caught up, eh? And then we can continue. Today, no consistory, unfortunately, because it was a tough week, and I was rehearsing for the ko, daar die show 3-in-1 met Skulk Besuidnoot,
awesome.
Hannes Brummer en Casper de Vries, en dis volgende week by die KKK, and then
the KKK,
and then so we didn't have time to record, and then my internet also broke for my one computer at home. I don't want to make my problems yours. I'm just telling you.
But I'm going to do it anyway.
Can an internet break?
Internet can break.
Ja, hy kan crash mos.
Hy crash.
Dan dis is dis 'n tegnologiese beskrywing van.
Sy sal nie verstaan. Ben. Okay, so we didn't know that.
Ek vroeg jou maar jy hoor my nie.
Ek hoor. Okay, so in 1282, can you imagine we live then? Can you imagine you live in 1282? How boring. Nothing happening.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. And at night, especially, you just got candles or fuckles or whatever.
Fuckles.
Or fuckle.
And it was not kinders gemaakt the other tijd.
And that's true. That's why we got the 7 billion people now.
Yeah.
Too many. But anyway, the great massacre of the French in Sicily comes to an end on the 31st of March, 1282. People were dying, crying. We don't know about that. We don't care. Mm. But that happened, 1282.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and then in 1547, King Francis of France died. So that was huge news then. Mm. It was like everyone was twittering.
Ooh. All the birds were tweeting.
Whatever they say. And then in 1776, there was this guy, John Adams, and he had a wife, Abigail, and she wrote to him that women are determined to foment a rebellion. To foment. What's foment?
Foment.
So met te laat gis.
Maar dat is niet er niet. But anyway,
then I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, so she said in 1776 already, she said women are ready to also be human beings. And in 1836, shame, in London, there was a guy called Charles Dickens, and he was publishing the Pickwick Papers in installments. And the first one was the 31st of March, 1836, and after that,
what
people were
Pickwicks?
Looking forward to the Pickwick Papers.
What are Pickwicks? It sounds familiar. I can't remember.
The Pickwick Papers. That's the Dickens novel, the Pickwick Papers.
Jy dink aan die Lotto Quick Picks.
Ek weet waar is jou gedagtes. Jy nog al die snack.
Oh, and then the 31st of March in 1917, the United States purchased the Virgin Islands from. From which country? Guess. Denmark.
Wow.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is precies 100 years ago.
For how much? Precies 100 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, sure, but for 100
50 million.
No.
Remember, it's 1917. $25 million.
Yo.
$25 million, and they had the Virgin Islands.
Oh, wow.
If we only had $25 now, hey?
Yes, exactly.
Million.
I will buy my own island. I would love to have my own island.
Maar kan dit kan nie eers 'n huis in die Kaap bekostig daai nie.
Anna?
It's just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I was in the Cape now this last week. The houses, I mean, it's beautiful, but it's expensive.
'N Huisie van die see se muur.
I would miss the hustle and the bustle of Joburg and like city
really?
Life. I would miss, unless I have my own club on my island.
Like you can ferry them in.
And I'll fly in my friends like once a month.
And you know what? If you can afford an island, you'll be so rich, you could just pop off to Joburg whenever
exactly.
The need arises.
Oh, that is true.
That's not.
But pop in
you won't be lonely. You've got your husband and your children there.
Yeah, but the children will be big when I get my island.
Oh, you don't want them to stay there?
It's only me and my husband.
I see it's going to be a
so they can bring geluksbakkies.
Yeah.
It's kind of a colony.
Hulle moet my telegramme stuur.
Nice, nee.
Als hulle vir my wil boodskappe gee.
I'm just
ask your kids if they know what that is.
True.
Exactly.
Oh, so the last news that at any merit was in 1991, 31st of March, because then Albania offered a multi-party election. So that's exciting news.
Albania is in East Africa.
We don't know where the fuck they are.
Hulle klink sommer rakkerig.
Yeah, Albania just sounds a bit off, hey?
Of Tabua by Sudan, I don't know. Stuur vir ons a WhatsApp en sê vir ons waar is Albania.
Ja, stuur WhatsApps mense. Or you can WeChat as well. I see the WeChat's also working here on the computer. Fitzgerald. Edward Fitzgerald. Oh, that's not... Who's the guy who wrote that movie?
Which one?
The Great Gatsby.
Bernard?
Betty, klim op jou computer en sê vir ons.
Maar Betty werk nou in haar show, hoor.
Oh my God.
Sy is net ooral, sien ek vir Betty op.
And usually she would beg me for coffee. Now I have to say to her, like, can you pencil me into your diary? How things have changed.
How wonderful.
How things have turned around.
She's going to be famous.
Yeah, I think so, because she's like the first person who does drag on telly, like, when I say like as in a series, as in a reality series on ours. And it's
local screen.
Local, yeah, I think she's going to be fantastic. Yeah, jylle weet mos. Ek meen, Cassie, jy weet net hoe mense te identificeer, nie?
Yeah, the way he brought us all together.
Sy het nou vir haar op die pad gesit, no?
Sy is op die pad, die groot... Yellow Big Brick Road.
Yeah.
I'm doing a show tomorrow in Nelspruit. You know what they did? They I answered the question.
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
So I was right.
You were right. They kent sy goeders.
F. Scott. Oh, my Scott.
Hy was cute, hoor.
Ja, maar hy was 'n bietjie, dink ek, skeef ook.
Maar hey, ah. It's kind of like...
Is ons allemaal nie?
Ja. Ja,
it's like saying all girls are cute. Ja, come on now. Many. Some are cuter than others.
Some are cuter than others, I know. But now listen, tomorrow I do a show in Nelspruit. Now I asked, the guy asked me if he can do an interview with me. It's difficult to say that. And I said... Yeah, but I will send voice notes. It's easier. Now they've used the voice notes on the fucking the website of the newspaper. That was only for him. Now I'm sitting. I haven't listened to this now.
Do you want?
Waar kom die inspirasie van Alive en Vrolijk vandaan? So what did I say? That's what I want to know now.
We now also want to know.
Yeah,
and I'm sure
you can listen. You can listen in the browser. Yes, yes, yes. Is that me?
That's
no, that's not me. Jesus. No, fuck, this weird eye on a klomp. Wait a minute, man. What's happening here? Oh, that was you fucked up.
Zuma.
Okay, waar kom jou inspirasie vandaan? Jere, why am I so dear mekaar today, eh?
Because you've been here long ago.
Yeah.
Waar is like die sweeties in the studio? Where, are there no sweeties?
Die inspirasie achter Alive en Vrolijk. Okay. Dit is... Na Alive en Vrolijk. Okay. Inspirasie achter Alive en Vrolijk.
Ek wil dit nie luister.
Okay. Dit is...
Nee, ek moet nie, shut up, Cassie.
Na ek Cassie, my...
Cassie,
shut up. ...die woord ontvang het uit die bloute van
ja, ek wil dit nie meer hoor nie.
This
is a song...
Well, that no way.
Besef, dit is well,
the
no...
The ex-minister of finance.
You're
this one's tea. For you.
Big T, big T.
I've got 40,000 French francs in my fridge. I've got lots of lovely lira, now the Deutschmark's getting dearer, and my dollar bills would buy the Brooklyn Bridge. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money. There is nothing quite as beautiful as cash. Some people say it's folly, but I'd rather have the lolly. With money you can make a splash. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money.
Money, money, money.
There is nothing like a newly minted pound.
Money, 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 money.
Everyone must hanker for the butchness of a banker. It's accountancy that waits the world around.
Round, round, round.
You can keep your Marxist ways, but it's only just a phrase. For it's money, money, money makes the world go round.
Money, 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 money.
Oh, that was Monty Python, and it was for our ex-minister of finance. The song, what did you say, my darling?
You can hold a note.
What?
You can actually hold a note.
I can hold a note.
I heard you now.
So you always thought I could sing for 2 years. I do irritatingly go all the time, but I can hold a note if you pay me. I will hold it. I will hold it for you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Ja, 100 rand note.
Ja, 100 rand note I'll hold. We got a very special guest today coming in, eh?
Who?
I can see how jittery you are.
Am I jittery?
I'm excited. I'm like a schoolboy.
Why?
Because of the guest. You whispered it in my ear.
But have you never met the guest?
Once in my lifetime, but I'm still like a big fan. I've met the person like once in my life, like way back when I was still a junior little journalist, you know, trying to make a name for myself.
So you wouldn't know who you are?
No, he wouldn't know who I am.
Okay, so I can introduce you.
Please do.
Shemaine, would you know who you are?
I have no idea. Who is he?
Give a clue.
Who is he? And what is
you
he to
you said something about a boy in a frock earlier on.
Okay.
But it's not Betty.
Is it Star?
Star? What do you mean Star? What do you mean Star?
No, okay then. So who else is a boy in a frock? I don't know many boys in frocks.
Give her more cues.
Okay. It's
clues. Sorry.
Clues, okay. very, very, very applicable or apt guest for the current situation that we find ourselves in South Africa.
Oh, is it Trevor Manuel?
No.
Is it
Trevor's nog geen rok aangetrek.
Ja, imagine Trevor Manuel in a fucking rokkie.
Hallo, oh, Peter! Hey!
We've got a special guest.
Ah, that's amazing.
Mr. Peter Dirk Ace.
Yes, okay, fine. But can we just acknowledge how amazing were my clues?
Yeah, well,
no, really, you want to acknowledge that?
Yes.
No, we don't want to acknowledge that. No, it could have been better. But it was, I mean, your clues weren't that cock. But
thank you, thank you, thank you.
I've got a song especially for Gavin. Oh, did you like that?
I absolutely loved it.
Isn't it Hot Cross Bun days now? Isn't it?
Yes, it is. And curry fish. Oh. I don't make it, but it is curry fish. White people do make it, eh?
No, they go to Woolies. Or nowadays,
Hot Cross Buns or curry?
No, curry. They curry fish and filet.
No, and well, not my Kerksemense.
What happened in your culture?
You go Bunnies. Buy the curry first.
No, chocolates, that's all.
Is it?
I think the English, like the Catholics, maybe had hot cross buns. But we didn't. Ons het nie. Ons het fokken Afrikaans. Ons het fokken. Ons het net gesierdeeg.
Ja. We had like, ours, die vis moet leef vir 4 dae.
Oh my God.
And then
like biltong fish. Biltong fish.
What do you mean biltong fish?
The big leaf of fish on the
fish. Oh, nou outside. Om te trek. Oh, outside. Oh, lekker. I love it.
I
make a fantastic curry fish.
I would love to eat it.
Oh, yay. Vooral for Lizzie. Lizzie's like, ooh, there's no Lizzie Mayring. I'm just name dropping. She loves it.
But listen, would you make me some curry fish one day, Shemaine?
I will make some curry fish.
But you can only make curry fish now during this time, Cassie.
Really?
It's tradition.
For you, if you don't eat curry fish in October, it's not going to fit well.
Well, you can, but I mean, it takes the fun out of Easter, because that's kind of like part and parcel of Easter, you know. It's kind of like Christmas. Everybody wakes up for certain things. Easter is like the fish and the hot cross bun. And the fish thing came from the Catholics, you know.
Also. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you're coming.
Yeah, but Catholics, you're a lot of baie invloed gehad.
When she makes it for you, Casper, then you need to invest in a very good hand sanitizer or hand wash.
Are you going to have yellow hands?
Geel van die borie.
Borie. No, they had the gif-appelkies van Winnevels. One's name was Borie. I don't know what we did. What did we do, listeners? Listener, what did we do?
We as did listen.
The Afrikaans people, I mean, with Easter, het ons chocolate bunnies gevreet of wat? Het is al wat ek onthou nie vir ongesierde hot cross buns nie.
Ons het baie geëet van
warm gekruiste boude.
Ons kon nie wag vir, is die chocolade nie maandagochtend nie? By ons, ons moest daar.
Is jy ernstig?
Nee, maar die hassie, vir die hassie, dit is so saterdagoggend.
Saterdagoggend?
Ja. En of dit is sondagoggend?
My parents were very strict.
Nee, dit is die sondagoggend.
Something happened Sunday morning before church.
Is die hassies, ek dink, dit is
die chocolade.
Okay, and here's a test. Why do we have a rabbit? Hoe kom daar een fucking haas? Can you tell me?
Do you know, I can't remember.
Ek het die Bybelklas bygewoon.
Dit is nie niks met Bybel uit te wei. It's with the pagans, the fucking atheists.
It's about bonking.
It's about vrugbaarheid.
Yeah.
Is it? Stoot soos 'n haas.
Ja.
Okay,
it's viering of vrugbaarheid. And then the Christians took it and they just kept the fucking haas and the chocolates.
Oh, thank you very much.
So no, Jesus, chocolate Jesus is, no, it's haas en nog steeds. But it's actually from the pagans. Remember, in the overseas places, it's now spring, hey?
Yes.
So that's vir almal se dingetjies weer reg op staan en almal is lekker.
En ons is slap.
Yeah, because we eat them, but we also eat the chocolates. We also eat the chocolates. We're not going to say no to the chockies.
Exactly.
What have you done this week, Gavin? I saw you on some social pages.
You saw me on
something.
Many things. I missed you guys at Sexpo.
Yeah, I'm sorry I wasn't there. I just didn't. Were you there?
I was there twice.
I've never been there. And can I just say next year you have to invite me to come with you. I've never been to the Sexpo.
I've been invited. Because last year we broadcasted live the Casper show. This time we couldn't. Yeah. But then I was invited.
And that's because I'm a girl that you guys.
But you mustn't say
next year. Don't invite me. Ne?
You mustn't say next year. You must say next time because the Sexpo is every second week now.
Is it? Okay, next time you invite me.
You come and you, a girl, you will see some wonderful stuff. Your mouth will hang open.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
They do have. Did you see anything new this week?
Kavinsky?
I think in terms of I like this expo to be under one roof. And that was te veel roofs by die Sandton Convention Center.
Moes jy rondloop?
Is dit so 'n op en af met die trappe en 5 vloere net om 'n pomp te sien en dan ga jy weer op na die toys. The Australian Thunder Boys.
Like, as a pomp.
Were the Thunder Boys there?
Oh my God.
Sorry, speak, Shemaine. I interrupted for the first time.
We come back to, what is a pomp? Like, as in a, you have, like, really?
Live sex shows they had, like a live sex show. I attended a lot. But it's very discreet. And you betaal 200 rand for the live sex show. And what is even more amazing is the fact that so when the boy and the girl, well, the guy and the lady are busy like on stage, it's a bed, ne? There's a typical Formula One hotel bed
where
the bed goes like in the middle, like I was supposed to feel. So then the bed is like in the middle of the audience, ach in front, and then the MC says, guys, so now just watch, but don't be too anticipatory or don't make too much noise because we don't want the gentleman to lose the monster. So I'm real to staan.
Wow.
Plus, and that's apart from all the tablets of roompies wat hulle aansmeer aan die monster to, you know, make it perform at its best.
And that actually works.
Yeah,
live sections.
But I fell ill, so we had to leave.
No, why? Because the monster was
alive.
No, the monster was alive, and the monster was from here to
eternity.
Cairo. But I was ill with my back. That's why I'm sitting with two pillows behind
me. Ooh, okay. Opa Gavin is getting old now.
And the Thunder Boys.
Thundercunts. Yeah, I want to see them.
They've been on Ellen. They've been on The View. They've been everywhere.
Australian, eh?
They're Australian.
Ooh, an Australian can be pretty.
It's like we have normal like strippers. Yeah. They give you a show. They can dance. They are ripped. They've got 6 to 8 packs. And they just like, in the end thing what they do, eh? So they make you wet in a good way. So they take a water, en gooi hulle dit so op hulle, en kom hulle in die audience, en staan hulle langs jou,
en dan
skud hulle hulle hare so,
God.
En dan val hy hare so, en dan is dit net nattigheid so op jou.
Oh, and I would be not then, eh?
I was proper wet.
So, allemaal het lang hare in daar geval.
Not long hair, but it needs to be long enough om te dingse.
Listen to this.
I work 60 hours a week, spend 10 hours commuting, 12 hours catching up with the kids, 4 hours arguing with my ex-wife, and 8 hours keeping my new wife happy. But I spend only 20 minutes a week at the gym thanks to BodyTech, a high-intensity, time-efficient muscle strength and endurance workout supervised by qualified personal trainers. BodyTech uses advanced German electro-muscle stimulation technology, and there are over 20 studios nationwide. Book your discounted trial now at bodytech.co.za. That's BodyTech. BodyTech. Welcome to a new fitness gym.
Our next song, dedicated to our wonderful President Zuma, is called Fucking Up. Enjoy.
I've been fucking up the money for a long time. VIP status, we on waiting line. We be standing on the couches like the bosses do. Bottles on the way, you know how bosses do.
do. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I might thump through a check right now. They say I'm on deck right now. First in a bitch, got lean in the cup. Got me leaning to the left right now. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I might gon' jump fresh right now. Wait, gon' count the vet right now. Say, bottles on deck right now. I done blew a whole fucking check right now. And I got some bad hoes taking pictures. Fuck the money, we can't take it with us. If I want your bitch, I'll take a nigga. I ball like I'm part of the Patriots, nigga. Look, hey, you boys got a man up. On the real, you need to run your bands up. All the women say the beard is on fleek. The swag is unique. These bitches keep calling me handsome. I don't give a damn who hating on me. I got some bad bitches waiting on me. Yeah, if rap don't work, then I go to work. The plug got a whole thing waiting on me. I've been fucking up the money for a long time. VIP status, we don't wait in line. We be standing on the couches like the bosses do. Bottles on the way, you know how bosses do. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I might thump through a check right now. They say I'm on deck right now. First in a bitch, got lean in the cup. Got me leaning to the left right now. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. Smitty F hit me, got that act on the way. FedEx shit, man, got a pack on the way. Boys telling lies, they ain't never sold shit. Man, me and Young Hog really trapped in the bait. From the pool off the lot like XO. Speakers hit hard like Lexo. Used to have a plug named Chico. He was on that bullshit. Now I fuck with Pedro. Fun, I hit the mall, blow the whole thing. Boys, they be tricking, ain't got no game. I know I be fucking up the money all the time, but I ain't finna spend it on no hoe, man. I'm just trying to blow like propane. Get all of my niggas out the dope game. And you know I'm cleaned in a bitch right now. All white and I'm looking like cocaine. I've been fucking up the money for a long time. VIP status, we don't wait in line. We be standing on the couches like the bosses do. Bottles on the way, you know how bosses do. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. Fucking up the money, fucking up the money. Fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I might thump through a check right now. They say I'm on deck right now. First in a bitch, got lean in the cup. Got me leaning to the left right now. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money. I be fucking up the money, fucking up the money.
Okay, now that was enough. No, not anymore. We know now what you've done. Okay, so let's listen to this.
Hang on. I've got this here.
There we go. There we go. Can we listen?
You luister now. Ah. 400 grand.
I'll tell you why I'm playing this.
Lekker om bikkie te rek. Hey, prachtige uitzicht.
Morgen, opa. Dit is daarom een prachtige dag.
Ja.
Ja.
Dit is waar.
Verrukkelijk.
Oh, help mij gauw.
Wat wil opa doen?
Laat ik gaan zit.
Pas op, niet. Voet je. Voet je. Kijk om. Kijk om. Hou de voeren toe. Maag uit. Maag uit. Trek in.
Daar zei.
Dit was 400 graan. Hier Katinka Bouwermeister. Luister morgen verder naar nog een spannende episode.
I was
At Peter Doug Ace's show last night, Echo of a Noise, and he spoke a lot about his youth, where he used to listen to Lorenzo Marx and Springbok Radio. So I got nostalgic yesterday, and I these are things that we used to play to send up Springbok Radio on this show years ago, and so I've got a couple of these chestnuts. Yeah, I'm also worrying. Say Peter doesn't arrive. say he said, "Yeah, I'm coming to the show, Casper," and he doesn't. What are we going to do then?
Well, we're going to be positive.
Yeah.
Okay.
If he doesn't arrive, I will play Evita and then interview me.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Mm. But he's not here yet.
And we can ask Shemaine if she brought one of her hair pieces. That can
act the draw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'll be like a Clora Evita.
Yes. Like a, yeah.
Do you sell hair pieces?
Or Bambi. Can Bambi
I used to.
Not anymore.
Mm-mm.
I can see that.
But my hair's so grey, eh?
Yeah,
I've gone very natural. No, it's, you know what? It's hot these days. I have my personal flushes, so I'm going, well.
What?
I'll keep it for winter.
So, yeah, Casper, so if, what, did you tell him 12 o'clock?
No.
Wanneer?
11:15. Maybe this is the greatest embarrassment.
Maybe I must
ever.
Go and see if he's sitting there. Maybe
Jesus
he went to Dutch Central.
Kevin, go watch. I'll play some other sketch.
I don't think he'll drop you.
You're listening to Springbok Radio. Now it's time for the twist in the tale. Listen carefully. There's a twist in the tale. Morning, Mother.
Morning, John. How are you this morning?
I am. Fine.
Do you want some breakfast?
Yes. Please. The sun.
Beware of the traffic.
The traffic. Okay.
John.
Yes, Mother.
I'm not your mother.
That was a good twist, eh? Have you seen anyone, Kevin?
So I went to the lounge.
Yeah.
It's not there. I ran outside to see if someone's parking their car. He's not there. You do get someone, people that are stuck in the toilet sometimes. So I went to the toilet and no one's there.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll try and call numbers that I have to see.
You've got Peter Dick as his number?
Well, no, but I've got numbers close to him. And we'll try and get those people, hey?
Oh, Scott.
Yeah. Let me just see here. Let me see. Casper. Yeah, this is the... Oh, the same people also tell me... Oh, we must remember. Let me just play this. Remember that Leo Sayer is coming. Remember last time we tried to give away... We wanted to pay people to go and see Louis Sayer, and they didn't. But this girl also said, remember Louis Sayer. But she, there's a number here. Shall we call her? That's in April. What call mine, eh? Friday the 31st, here it says. Peter Dirk Ace.
And I don't let the show go on.
And she also promised me Leo Sayer as a guest. I wonder if he will really come here to this little Oompa Loompa show, eh?
Hello, you've reached Bridget at Buzz Consulting. I can't take your call at the moment. Please don't leave a message. Rather, WhatsApp me. Or you can email me then. On Buzz.
Leo Sayer is at the Teatro of Monte Cassino in April. 3 days, and I'm going to try and get him in the studio. But then, will I succeed?
I see Bridget is online, so message her.
Okay, well, you quickly, because okay. I can't do a radio show and message.
Cassie is looking.
Yeah. So, where's Peter? Ask her, where's Peter? I'm getting flustered now. Okay, let's listen to Montel and Karen.
God sala. Hallo, Karen. Lekker om jou te sien.
Hallo, Skatty. Ek is bly jy kan nog sien. Wat gaan met jou Montel? Hoekom laat jou haartjie so? Wat gaan met jou oogies? Wat gaan met jou hempie?
Niks gaan aan met my nie. Niks gaan aan met my hempie nie. Wat 'n kak praat jy?
Dis ook praat, ek is hoetie.
Luister, is jy hoog?
My Skatty, die laaste keer toe ek hoog was, was ek in die draai restaurant in Bloemfontein. So dronk soos 'n Chardonnay vlieg.
A Chardonnay vliegie. Ach, jyre, jy is te cute.
Dank, Skatty.
So, wat doen ons vandag?
Daar's tolliekie brei.
Tolliekie brei.
Ja, Skatty, het jy aksie gehad gisteraan? Ja, op 'n manier, ek kan nie meer lekker sit nie.
Ek is bietjie rou, maar ek is seker dit sal verby gaan.
Wel, Skatty, dis in my voue is dit soos die Sahara. Dis droog en warm.
Raai nie, ek vasgeloop.
Nee, Skatty, jy kan my strip search as ek weet.
Ek het vasgeloop in Bobby van Jaarsveld. Jere, hy is prachtig.
Jy is een gelukkige skapie.
Ek weet, ek het gegul soos 'n drag queen op 'n Truworths uitverkoping, hoor.
Wat het hy gedoen?
Ach nie, hy het weggehardloop. Skatty, ek kan nou nie verder met jou klets nie. Ek het 'n pornmovie uitgeneem wat ek nou wil kyk.
En wat sy naam, Skatty?
Die naam is Come Again.
And now a beautiful song for our president on this wonderful day.
Now this here's for your spouse or significant other. You were in love with the person, now you hate the motherfucker. Get the fuck out. Tell them to get the fuck out. You weren't looking for love when you met him at the club. Y'all exchanged numbers and went out for some grub. You waited 3 days and decided to call. Went for dinner and a movie, then a walk through the mall. All you saw was the physical, a sexy individual. Never had the thought that they would make your life miserable. A couple more dates, consummate the mating ritual. Soon you will encounter the habitual liar. The sex was so good, it set your body afire. But why are you still with this nut? Every time they come around, you get this feeling in your gut. Wanna tell them raise up, but your mouth stay shut when you stop to think about how good they fuck. When the sex gets old, you'll wind up stuck. So here's some words of wisdom that'll help you with the tour. Count up their IQ before you kick them to the door. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4. I had it up to here and I'm not taking no more. So get the fuck out. You gots to get the fuck out. Everybody, come on. 1, 2, 3, 4. I had it up to here and I'm not taking no more. So get the fuck out. You got to get the fuck out. Everybody, now say you have a homeboy who's been sleeping on your couch for weeks on end and he's worse. Walk him out. Get the fuck out. Tell him to get the fuck out. Now he walks around your house in nothing but his drawers, dumps the trash once a week and expects to get applause. Let him stay at your crib, you was down for his cause. He was in between girls or in between jobs, but it's still no excuse for him to be a slob. Your girl stays mad cause she's cleaning up behind him. You can't get your calls when he's on the other line, and you can't get laid cause he has the worst timing. Knocking at your door at odd hours of the night. If he does that shit again, you swear to God you're gonna fight. But you can't kick him out cause it's just not right. He has nowhere else to go, but you're losing self-control, wanna kill him in his sleep. God bless his soul. Maybe it's not that bad, but it could get worse. So here's a little tip from your homeboy Merce. Before you tell him bounce, do a countdown first. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4. I had it up to here and I'm not taking no more. So get the fuck out. You gots to get the fuck out. Come on. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Dit is Springbok Radio. U luister na Ongewaste Vreemdeling.
Meijer! Meijer!
Van waar kom jy nou aan gehardloop?
Ek kom van Gehasi.
Van waar?
Gehasi.
Wat's fout, 03?
O, Meijer, Meijer.
03.
O, Meijer, ek het jou lief.
03.
Meijer.
03.
Ongewaste Vreemdeling deur B.C. Eiers Moshoff. Okay, so now we've changed mood a bit. This is a song called Gupta. While it's playing, we can talk. So, I want...
It's called Gupta.
Gupta, yeah. It's called Gupta. Hey, hey. Hey, hey, daar gaan die geldkies binnen in die kluis en binnen in die kluis en Gupta.
Dis kom ek op.
Mang mein sanda wale te pehla chona lage majre wale kaale ho re vi apni tor banange majre wale kaale ho re vi apni tor banange dat puri ve kithe dat puri ve is saal tu kithe ho gaya ve kehdi gallon chona tera late ho gaya ve.
Anyway, I wonder if Peter remembered.
He is, after all, 70.
It's one.
Are you sure?
The thing is that I didn't say to him last night after the show, see you tomorrow. I sort of left quickly, and then because I had to come prepare for today's show. So I didn't check with him, but I had this email from this Bridget woman who said he was coming. You know, and now she's not answering her phone. Do you think this is a whole thing that was set up to embarrass me? Like years ago, 1986 or so, they, Bridget and Peter decided, okay. So if this Casper.
Oh, you mean they discussed it then already?
Then, and they said, if Casper invites you one day and you have a radio show, they were all planning
it
in 2017, then you will not go. And he said, okay, let's do that.
I thought you were going to say that they played a practical joke on you like 100 years ago.
Oh, no. What I mean is they like planned it 100. They planned it 100 years ago.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you see, because for me, what is so fantastic is here I was. So, as she's saying, at the University of Stellenbosch in the year of our Lord, 1984. And we were all very excited because Peter the Ace was coming to tour at our university with False About Ace. And then one of the personnel sort of saw a comparison of sorts between me and him in humor and stuff. So he said, he recommended me to be his dresser for the show. So that was, I was his dresser for False About Ace. And that was fantastic. It was like your hero and you were dressing him.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Toe was ek seker wat sy in sy eerste of tweede jaar is.
Dan was jy
2021, ja. Wow. Something like that.
So, hy was jou blesser. Hy het jou gebles in die industrie in.
Ek was sy dresser en hy was my blesser.
Fantasties.
Yes, sort of, he inspired me also to find my own voice. Because when you really look up at someone like him, you tend to imitate him, and that's what I did at the beginning. I was like, hello doctor, doing that all the time. And then I decided, okay, I know, well, he's very good at politics. I'm not that interested in politics. I'll mention a little bit of it, but I'll create characters and talk about more universal stuff, and that's how I sort of then. But we worked together again in the year 19. What the fuck was it? He did. Remember, he wrote Die van Aardes van Groot Oor, and he's done that a couple of times. And the part he played, Tertius, he asked me to play it somewhere in the year, I can't remember when, 1990 something. And so that was quite an honor to play that, and he directed.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing. So I can't tell him all this now because he's not here.
Go on. Do you know
I met him in...
Okay, you go and then I'll tell you where I met him.
mine was purely business. Like, I interviewed him for one of the shows in Darling. So I had to drive all the way to Darling and just go and meet him, like in that house or whatever, that house theater thing.
Yeah, and his place.
But, yeah, wat noem hulle dit nou weer?
Evita Seperon.
Evita Seperon, yeah.
Oh, like that's that. Quite recently.
And, I haven't been a journalist in like 50 years.
But the Evita Seperon, is it that old?
It's very old. Yeah, it's very old. And then I had to drive all the way there. I was more intrigued by just the memories, the decor. to a night black.
Mm.
But it was I was in awe of him. And then I think about 2 months later I met him in Mitchell's Plain. Hy het na die community toe gekom.
No house?
Om te kom praat oor vigs.
I remember Foreign AIDS. Mm. He did a lot of that as well, mm-hmm. which is amazing, because that is something you really want to go out and help.
Mm.
It's not you do every day, mm. you know. Usually artists go out and do shows and that's it. But he actually goes out, get people to vote, he educated them about sex.
Mm. Things, into social issues and yeah, educating.
It took people. Trouble.
Mm. Yeah, he's so amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
It's,
and
yay!
As
yay!
We thought you never came.
Epic, darling.
Okay, well, wait. Well, wait, I'm going to play something. Don't say anything now. I'm going to play something, and then we're going to talk to our special guest. Okay, this is the Gupta song. We're going to stop this cuck, and then I'm going to press this. I'm so excited. Peter's here, people. We were just saying, okay, this was a practical joke. You're never going to arrive.
And I was just going to tell them how I met you, you know, trying to be grand.
Yeah, we were actually busy doing that now.
You know, well, how did you meet him? Tell me how you met him.
Do you remember, Peter? But obviously you won't remember. You're, you know, I met you at Tessa's place in the UK. I was doing a story on her, and then you came in there, and, well, you were visiting her at the time. And
in London.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. And that's how we met.
Yeah.
Personally.
That's right.
Yes. Do you remember? And then you still went like, oh, my darling Ella Dunk, rather the devil you know than the devil you don't know. It stuck with me forever. Oh, I use it.
Not anymore. We know the devil we know. We don't want that devil anymore. That's for bloody sure.
Okay, before we officially welcome Sir Peter Dirk Ace, let's listen to this. This is something I picked up. It's not a disease, but it's a video. And I fucking hope it's playing.
The day I met Nelson Mandela, I was standing in a queue with everybody else who was also meeting him for the first time. And eventually I stood in front of him, and he looked up at me with that wonderful smile, and he said, "Oh, Peta, where is Evita?" I thought, oh God, I hope you know. I was 49 years old when, for the very first time in my life, I was allowed to queue up with anyone. On the 27th of April, millions of South Africans queued up to vote for the very first time, and many of them voted many times. The Rainbow Nation was born, a new national anthem was sung. Nelson Mandela freed me from my jail of prejudice and fear. It was no longer politically correct to be a racist in South Africa. In fact, I was no longer just a white Afrikaner. I was now a South African. At last. Who said life cannot start at 50? And so I've always been very careful and very grateful to politicians. I've always said, thank you for putting the words into my mouth. Truly, with the old National Party government, which it seems no one ever voted for, they really were the best script writers I could wish for. And when in 1994 I realized that I'd lost my job, and I looked at Nelson Mandela and I thought, well, there you are. I can't make fun of him. I mean, how do you make fun of Nelson Mandela? It's like doing Mother Teresa with a dildo. Nelson Mandela just led my way by his great sense of humor, and I think one day somebody will write a thesis about the way that Nelson Mandela used humor to reconcile not just a nation, but an entire world. And of course, our democracy is 20 years old, and today I still have got a government, I still have politicians that write me my material, they put the words into my mouth. I couldn't make it up if I tried. And that's why I don't pay taxes, I pay royalties. But originally, it wasn't just the old National Party that inspired me with their gifts of a P.W. Botha, a Puk Botha, a Fani Botha, a Buthelezi. I was also inspired by white South Africans who were fighting the system from within the system, especially a very unlikely freedom fighter called Helen Suzman. Helen Suzman spent her life in politics, and 13 years of that life saw her alone in parliament, the only member of the white opposition to the apartheid government. Helen Suzman really showed what one woman managed to do to help change the history of her country. This was 1985. We were in a state of emergency. The army was in the street. There were guns everywhere. People were dying. We didn't know where, we didn't know why, we didn't know who. We didn't want to know. We were so frightened. They didn't even have a Protection of State Information Act to frighten us. And yet, that's when Helen Suzman invited me to have lunch with her in Parliament. 1985, I thought, oh no, can't we rather go to La Perla? I mean, to go to Parliament was like visiting Chernobyl set in North Korea. And you had to wear a suit and a tie. And I didn't have a suit and a tie. So I said to Helen, I'm sorry, I can't have lunch with you, I don't have a suit and a tie. She said, yes, you do. I saw you do P.W. Botha in a suit and a tie. I said, no, but that's my costume. She said, yes, we wear them here as well. She said, wear your suit and tie and come and have lunch with me in Parliament, Peter. Just be careful not to give yourself away. Do you know, during the 1980s when I did P.W. Botha, I used to wear a lot of makeup. Now I even look like the old fucker. Helen gave me my ticket to the visitors' gallery. She said, my dear, if you're going to do them on stage, watch them at work. And I looked down and there they sat, the entire apartheid government. And right in front of me sat P.W. Botha at his desk, making notes, or signing death warrants, but very busy, busy, busy. And he put his pen down and he looked up, 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 right into my soul. My scrotum disappeared. Helen Suzman had a wonderful, brittle sense of humor. She used to challenge the apartheid government with their own rules in parliament. One of those rules allowed an MP to ask a question of the government in parliament, and the government had to answer that question in parliament, sight unseen. We still have to get there in our great democratic structures. To add insult to injury, Helen would ask the same question every year, a question pertaining to the Population Registration Act, the foundation to all the hideous apartheid laws. Mr. Speaker, would you please tell us how many South Africans were racially reclassified during the last year? Let me share with you the answer that you forced out of them in 1985. In answer to the question tabled by the PFP member for Houghton, Mrs. Helen Suzman, nearly 800 South Africans officially became members of a different race group last year in accordance with the Population Registration Act. 518 coloureds were reclassified as white. 14 whites became coloured. 7 Chinese became white. 2 whites became Chinese. 3 Malays became white. 1 white became an Indian. 50 Indians became coloured. 57 coloureds became Indian. 17 Indians became Malay. 4 coloureds became Chinese. 1 Malay became Chinese. 89 blacks became coloured. 5 coloureds became black. You notice that no blacks became white. And no whites became black. Oh, they hated her for this. No, sis, Mrs. Suzman, why do you keep asking the same embarrassing question every year? She said, it's not the question that's embarrassing, dear. It's your answer. Well, I suppose we expect an obscenity like that from an apartheid government in 1985. But imagine the discomfort when in the 17th year of our non-racial, non-sexist, and in many ways nonsensical democracy, the bad smell came back again with Census 2011. There was that question. What is your race? Black, white, colored, Indian, Asian, or other? I didn't know what to fill in because some months before they did a DNA test on me for a TV show. And the DNA test proved that I originated in the Congo. So obviously I'm black. For 49 years, my book of life assured me that I am white. Then I did some research into my father's family background. And I found out that we had a great-great-great-great-grandmother who in 1791 plied her trade on the road between Cape Town and Paarl. Her name was Wilhelmina Opklum. Which means that I'm also a colored. I don't know about Indian, Asian or other, but hell, that's 3 out of 6. Come on. I'm truly South African. And here we are in the 20th year of a democracy that no one ever thought would happen. It did happen. It is happening. And it will carry on happening if we do our jobs as citizens of a democracy. 7th of May, very important day. The most important election in the history of our country. Apartheid will never ever come back again under the same name. But do not underestimate the inventiveness of bad politics. If we do not do our jobs, it will be back. If we do not do
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
The Gasper Radio Show.
So wasn't that inspiring? Now we have him here live in the studio, our
extra special
guest, Mr. Peter de Gey. I was so glad to see you.
Thank you. And to welcome me with this foreign voice, listening to this person say all those things, I think by myself, wie de donder is hierdie bloody fool. Because you somehow forget about the impact of words.
Yeah.
Ne? And it's always interesting. I don't have time to listen. I don't listen to myself often because I get nervous, because I don't like it. I don't watch myself either because, which is wrong. I think that's what we should do. We should actually analyze and criticize and improve. But then sometimes when I hear it and it doesn't sound too terrible and then I forget it's me and I think to myself, yo, who's saying things like that? Are they allowed to say things like that? You see?
Hmm.
One doesn't forget those feelings like in the old days. Mach doch, mach es jetzt say.
But this was a perfect way of introduction, I thought, because you really took your career and explained why you were doing it and what happened and that it's not over and we didn't reach a happy ending as we would have thought we would in 1994. Long time ago already.
It's interesting how the honeymoon with Madiba went on for too long. And when we woke up there was this small man in charge. And we thought, what's he going to do? And now he's left and he's now on his blog reinventing his history. And we must just always remember the footnote that 380,000 people died because of Thabo Mbeki's denials.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever, ever allow people to forget that. So, you know, somebody said, rather the devil you know than the devil you don't. Well, I know the devil we've got. I don't want that devil. And I love being here today. I think today is an amazing celebration of the success of our democracy.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a state of emergency. There's not an army in the street. There's not people with their passports running to the Croatian border to get a job in Germany. We are actually getting a situation where discussion and people and their opinions are actually forming the future of the country. And I think President Zuma has all he has to do is very simple, retire for health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
With full amnesty, we don't have a failed president in court for the next 10 years. Imagine the traffic jams.
Mm-hmm.
We've given Nkandla as a present, farewell present, because who the hell wants Nkandla? I mean, those rondavels look like a retirement village outside Hermanus. And then just to show our respect for his legacy as a president of South Africa, we rename an airport after him.
Yeah.
The J.G. Zuma International Airport in Upington.
Upington. Oh, I've just been there. Oh my goodness. The thing is, I'm worried about now, ernstig now, is that every day is a day too long because the corruption is seeping through. And I know it can be removed, but every day is a day longer of trying to get all those wortels out and get enough. Because I think this is the turbulence, personally, and that after him, things would then swing back to normal, more normal again, I think.
Well, you know, there's a very dangerous thing about normal.
I keep on believing that we will never, ever recover from where we are now. I mean, the finances will always stay where they are now. So do what we – take what we've got and make the best of it. Democratically elected governments in the world are using democratically accepted ways to destroy democracy. Mm. It's happening in the United States now.
Yeah.
Brexit is one step in the wrong direction for the UK. It nearly happened in Holland. It might happen in Germany and France and Italy. It is definitely happening here because nothing that's going wrong in our politics we can actually impeach the president on because everything is done in a democratic way. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean, that democracy has outlived its usefulness? I think the biggest problem here, to be really local about it, is with us as the voters. Mm. We haven't done our homework. Mm. We haven't read those books. There are books about everybody, and they're so shameless, they put all their corruptions in the books as well. And if you read the book about Mbeki, and you read the book about Thabo Mbeki, Kgalema Motlanthe, which is a very good book to read because he is still in the wings as the bond person, the fairy godmother who can fly in and say, hang on, I'll look after you for the next 10 weeks until we get the next monster in. We must do our homework because the 5 years between elections are the time that we study to pass that exam, which is the general election, by knowing who are we voting for. None of us know. We can't even pronounce their surnames. Yes, we were used to Derek Arnicom. Now we've got a new surname to pronounce in tourism. We don't do our homework, and really every democracy deserves the government they get. Mm. Don't blame, look in the mirror, and rethink the way we are going to fix this huge liner moving closer to an iceberg. All we have to do is just keep our glasses to one side so that the ice falls into glass and doesn't sink the ship.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well said, eh?
Wow. Wow.
Well, you should see this man on stage. It's only a chair, only him, and he sits in the bloody chair. He doesn't even stand up for 2 hours. And then after last night's show, I wondered, I don't want to waste your time because you talk and talk for 2 hours. Now you've got to come and talk with me. And I thought, yeah, I didn't know. It was like visiting you in your home and you talking to your friends. Mm. And people felt privileged because, oh, there he's doing that. Other people won't see that, you think in your head. That's the kind of feeling that you have in the show, which is a show about, I thought about your father, but it's about much more. It's about your whole family, your outlook on life, what happened in your life. It is extremely interesting and touching and emotional. And it's called Echo of...
The Echo of a Noise.
Of a Noise. Yeah. I nearly said Echo of Laughing Dying, but that's another thing you did. No, The Echo of a Noise. And what's the Afrikaans again?
Weerklank van 'n wanklank.
Ooh, die weerklank van 'n wanklank.
Doing that as a KKNK in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, yeah, stunning. Yeah. Oh, lekker.
And you know the extraordinary thing about Echo, which is mainly English, because the title is English, so that's what happened. Although I speak Afrikaans and German in it. But,
of course.
I've done it in Afrikaans, and it's a hele ander story. The whole language creates a different sound of voice. It's a different tune. It's the most extraordinary thing. I did it at the Woordfeest in English for 2 days and in Afrikaans for 2 days. And people came to see both and they said, but this was a completely different experience. It was like a completely different meal. And I love that. I mean, that is really exciting to know how each language has its own tune. And I am a huge, huge supporter of language. I think, frankly, when I go to schools and I see the kids and I say to them, listen, you'll never get the job you want. You'll always start your life working for somebody else. Be your job now. Become your job at the age of 12. What is your dream? Yeah, I want to be a trapeze artist. I said, well, start tomorrow. Because in 10 days, if you work hard, and that means you work 24 hours a day for the rest of your life. And you end your life not yet at 100%. But then you go to heaven and you really show off there. Become your job now so that you never have to stand in a queue. I've been unemployed since 1975. When the National Party government said, jy mag dat nie doen nie. Yes, like, jy mense moet nie dit vir my sê nie. Jy is dieselfde, né? Kassie, sê jy mag nie, jou gat, ek gaan dit doen, né? And language, my friends who are now, of course, grandparents with grandchildren. I haven't got grandchildren, I've got cats. Mm. And then they said to me, what should we give them for a present? Shall we give them a smartphone? I said, give them a language. Pay for 2 years tuition in a foreign language. They can't cash that in. They'll do it. They'll learn Chinese. Mm. At the age of 6, they'll start. By the age of 16, They know exactly what to do with their life in the world, not just down the road. So Talus helps belong. Mm.
But I was listening last night and I thought, how would the sound, what would you do in Afrikaans then that is different to what I heard last night? Because it was, yes, English, but you spoke a lot of Afrikaans and German. But so do you, your vertelling, is that all in Afrikaans?
My vertelling is in Afrikaans.
And is that in your head? Is that written in your head?
Yeah, I'm thinking the language. The first time I did it, the first time I tried the Afrikaans out, was at a fundraiser for Ons Oertuis and Darling.
Oh.
And I had the Jelle NG Kerk was daar met theater. And the irony is that most of them had never even been to Evita Seperon. They live in Darling, but they haven't been. But there's still that echo of, ja, maar Pieter Dorkuis is on the Afrikaans. It was wonderful. They were so delightful. And it for me, the danger of the evening was translating my English text. I knew where the Afrikaans was going, but the meaning was mainly in English, and sometimes the Afrikaans word starts a sentence which the English word ends a sentence, so it can be but it is really truly en natuurlijk my pa'se taal met ons was Afrikaans. Alles wat liefdevol was Afrikaans. The moment my father spoke English, we ran for the door.
Oh, it's bad time.
It's bad time. And you got hiding in English. You got a hug in Afrikaans. and so I'm glad I've got them both. Because, I mean, again, you adapt to your audience. I don't want to confuse people who are not fluent in Afrikaans. I don't expect any to be fluent. I just have to make the meanings clear. And so when I do something in Afrikaans, I actually do echo it in English so that nobody loses the thread of the story.
The echo of the noise.
I never knew what it meant. You know, when I started with the title, I thought, what does this mean, the echo of a noise? Does it mean that I am the echo of a noise from the past? Which is true, there has been, yeah. Am I the echo of a noise reinventing itself for the future? Sadly, yes. Is it the echo of a noise of laughter that was not allowed? Absolutely. So all those things led me along the way to what it is today. I didn't know what it would be. And suddenly, I never thought I'd write about my father. We fought like hell. We didn't even like each other in the beginning. Mm. And Sunny Abado was our housekeeper.
I want to ask you about Sunny.
Just a wonderful influence on my life.
I want to ask you two questions. The one is, why do you speak English? Is that because your father had to speak English to your mother?
Why do I speak English in the show, you mean?
No, you, as Pieter Dirk Ace.
I grew up with German, with my mother's German, my granny German, Afrikaans, my pa and my oma Ace, Afrikaans.
Maar wat het pa met ma gepraat dan?
I'm trying to remember, what did they talk to? I think they spoke English and Afrikaans. My mother, I think the first thing she did when she came from Berlin in 1937, yes, like she just got out in time, she met my dad on the stage of the City Hall. They played the two piano, Mozart piano concerto with the orchestra. So she met Pa on the stage. She learned Afrikaans very, very quickly, instinctively. Yeah, and she had a beautiful Afrikaans accent.
Really?
So they spoke Afrikaans. We spoke Afrikaans. We spoke German. I spoke English. But it was sort of not an English as opposed to what I speak now. Because the Biscopes was an English, you know.
I
talk a little bit like this as well. My son had for me Afrikaans geleerd. And I had naturally a Peter Parapurlik, Japa. And son had said, nee man, you moet lekker praten. You moet let it flow. It's like a rivier wat water het. And it was just great. And Sunny, she was definitely not white. She was, she was Kleerling.
Yeah.
And say, was a Christen geboren, but she married a Muslim man.
Oh.
So there was this combination of Muslim and Christen. My mom was a Jood. We only found out after she died. So that was not something we really celebrated as a family. And so Sunny just took me down a road that was actually nie vir blankes nie, by telling me that ek is ook 'n persoon en ek kan so praat en ek is lief vir jou en ek speel dominoes en ek leef vir jou dominoes speel op 'n Sondag. Ach nee man,
I
just loved her so much.
But something you didn't say in the show, but I wondered afterwards, is was Sunny proud of you?
Sunny was so proud of me. Sunny, yeah, she's my favorite child. And you know, she was just part of my family till I went to a funeral, which, you know, and because I'd said to Sunny, wat wil jy van my? She said, ek wil a wit kare van my kus. And I had to work that out. Okay. And your kus, Sunny? She said, nee, my kus is okay. It moet nie te groot wees, want ek is klein. Okay, Sunny. And we laughed. We thought a joke. Nothing was a joke, but it always was funny. Mm-hmm. So when she was buried, it was a big white Mercedes hearse with Sunny's Sikasi hearse. Oh. And we had a service at her house. There was a Muslim priest, imam, and I was Christian, a vrouw. And everybody came and they looked at Sunny's, she was a pop, said, clean gelijk. And you know, everybody touched her forehead just to feel if she had a headache or a warm head, but such love. But it didn't start as a research thing of, now I'm going to write about my father, I'm going to write about Sunny, it's going to be a white Afrikaner in a clear and firm, but nothing. It was just these two people just came out of my memory and talked to me, and it was the story of that, with my mother on the other side, nearly like that angel that left too soon and yet left me with those wonderful small signposts that changed my life. And I'm listening to the music you're playing. That's my sister, Tessa Ace.
Yeah, it's Tessa playing.
So I was brought up with music as my oxygen, and Mozart as my best friend. How can you go wrong?
But your mother, although we have a bleak picture of her, you do say that you laughed a lot. There was a lot of laughter.
Tremendous amount of laughter. She giggled, always at the wrong times. Sometimes, once I remember, Pa was orderless in the NG Kerk, and then Ma never came to the NG Kerk, but there was no argument or discussion. She used to take us to the Lutheran church for the music. So we thought she was Lutheran. And then once Pa said, Helga, bring the children to school, to church, because the choir is singing in Yilmikum. Of course, my mother was always late, altijd laat. So we had to run, Ma, the hoed op. I said, hoed op. And we quickly go in, and it's loud, and quickly, and the back row. Okay, so we get into the back row. And this church had curtains hanging over the big windows. And groot gordijnen. And we sit down, the gordijnen is opgerold op die windowsill. Okay, a bit of wind van die een venstertjie is open, and it's down. And this curtain unrolled itself, and banged my mom's head and pushed her hat forward, so her hat just went right down over her face. And the only reason we knew this was because we heard that terrifying giggle. My mother had a squeak. We just heard, we thought, nee, ma, lach, oh, please don't do this, ma, don't do this. And we looked, and asked my mom met die hoed oor haar gezicht. And we started laughing, and everybody, and then the bench started shaking, you know, in the church when you laugh, now. And that whole, and the dominee stopped. Oh. And he said, Mevrouw Uys, u kinders lach. Hou hulle stil. Well, I thought the world would end. It didn't stop her laughing, you know.
No. Your father must have been livid.
He was livid, but he also, actually, after he had really given us hell, he also laughed. It was one of those things. You just, you know, if you can't beat them, join them.
Absolutely. Someone said, Aber, you sat behind me yesterday. You just said, yeah, we love the show. And I didn't know that you were actually going to be WhatsApping me today, Aber. Thank you. It was wonderful, eh? Great show. Then I've got so many questions. The other one was that, okay, your mother had problems, which I don't want to divulge because the people will see the show, but when did you find out about the Berlin thing and the Nazi things and stuff? Only after she died.
Well, no, you were always aware of what the war meant.
Did she say she was in the war?
Well, she didn't have to say it. She came from Germany.
Nazi.
She was German. No, Nazi. We didn't talk about that either. Mm. Look, again, you must remember, as you know, but you're another generation, but we Afrikaans kids were brought up never to have the freedom of questions. We didn't ask questions.
No.
Where's my Jewish friends? Never stopped asking questions. And I remember saying to my mother, I love going to my Jewish friends because their food is so fantastic and their mothers are so funny. They've got so many things to say. I swear to God. And they knew all about so many things. And somehow there was this unbelievable denial in my family on many, many levels. Mm. And many of those aspects I didn't want to weave into my storyline because each one was a play on its own. You know, sexual denials. Mm. I remember once very clearly we were driving, miskien Kartuma, miskien Stellenbosch to Natani Anna. And we were driving and I said to Pa, and I don't know where this came from, I said, Pa, maybe in Afrikaans, I said, Pa, what is a homosexual? Yosses, and my pop puts the brakes on and stops the car next to the road. And he turns to me and he's just with his blue eyes and he said, It's disgusting. It is terrible. It is, and they go straight to hell. There's a fistlicker dung. There's a fistlicker dung. Who can pray it? And I didn't know why. I said, "Nothing, nothing, nothing, nothing." Okay. Now that sat in my head, and not that I ever understood that I was actually not normal, quote unquote. Oh, thank God. I hate normal. What is normal? I mean, normal is the dirt bin in which you put the rubbish, you know. But again, there was no question. There was no sort of. So I had to find my own way. I literally had to find, even at university, when people said, you know, we're going camping, I thought, yo, ooh, I'm not going to lie in a tent overnight, are you mad?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that we're going to get drunk in the bar and pick up boys, you know, yeah. That sounded great when so I think about it now.
It started with you going uphill, discovering who you are, because your father said it's filthy.
Didn't you believe older people,
yeah,
as we were told? Older mensen wordt wat weer van beter. I mean, okay. I'm an old person now, and I know we don't know better.
Yeah.
And you didn't ask questions. So, again, okay, so all these bits of information came. I think more information came from the friends of my mother that came to have supper with us. And this was a huge influence, telling stories,
yes,
about the Nazis, about being about Jewish people. But nobody, there was no sort of label. They'd gone to the Salzburg Festival. They'd heard von Karajan conduct the orchestra and Leontine Price singing Aida, where I suddenly found out that Leontine Price was black. And I remember that, my gosh, can they do that? Are they allowed to do that? Are they allowed to? And then suddenly say, Nadia Luxemburg, what's we coming to? Yes, yes. So really, it's a voyage of discovery. And I think, Cassie, I think the success of the piece now is the fact that every single member of that audience travels a road with me that is not my road. That is not even with the furniture on that road, but it is the experience of love, of laughter, of shock, of fear, of now looking back on the life and thinking, why didn't I just ask that question when I was 15? Why am I 65 now? And I just, yeah, if I'd known at the age of 15, I wouldn't have HIV today. You know, things like that.
Yeah, it's a little thing that stops you, and it's just a second to rip off the plaster and say it.
And also to me, when I go to the kids at school, I say, though, your great legacy of democracy is the right to ask questions. When you don't know what it means, say, excuse me, what does it mean? Don't even say, excuse me, say what it means. And then get a second opinion. Because the first reaction is not always the correct one. You know, don't get taken for granted. So a mens leer die hele tyd.
Jy het gepraat oor jou ouma, Ys. Mm. Now, is there a lot of Evita with her?
No. Oma Ys was not glamorous. She was she was a bit like, sort of a, difficult.
Is she Oma Osavania more?
Yeah, could be Oma Osavania. She's like a Eleanor Roosevelt. She had that look, and Queen Mary, that look of Queen Mary.
Yeah.
You've hit me the folk at very, very, and she, her family farm, she sold the family farm outside Stellenbosch to start the Afrikaner Bond, which became the National Party.
Oh, my God.
So, in retrospect, I feel that I could do what I liked with the National Party because it belongs to me, to be honest. I should have stopped them long ago. And you know, when I was in the 80s making fun of Piet Koornhof, remember Piet Koornhof?
Yeah, yeah. Peter, I wanted to do it, you know.
And he once invited me to lunch. I didn't want to go because I wanted to take my company of Fast About Ace, Davy Malan, but I couldn't take them all. And then Piet Koornhof said, "Ja, jy weet, Peter, ons het nou gesien, besoek, it's very funny, very good, very good." And that girl on the stage, that Mikey, die Mikey is baie oulik, jy moet haar saambring vir ete. I thought, I must go to Tokon Chinga and say to her that the minister in the president's office has invited die Mikey for lunch. She would kill him with kindness. She'd probably kiss him on his mouth and not let him breathe for 20 minutes and he would die. Anyway, so I'm going to have lunch with Piet Koornhof to get material. My pa actually said, "Ja, Han, my pa loathed the political hierarchy of the National Party. Besides the fact that his cousin was Dr. Dief Malan. I think that's part of it." Mm. And so, anyway, said, "Pa, gaan luister wat hierdie blessed man gaan sê." Anyway, sê Piet Koornhof, he said, "Jy weet, Pieter, jou ouma is." When we were young politicians, MPs, we'd come to Cape Town for the opening of Parliament, and we all went up Kloof Street to Madeira House to pay tribute to Aunt Gertie, May Omar. She was like the aged Evita Perón of the National Party.
Really?
It's chilling. She took me with her once a month to Grote Skuur, where the Prime Minister lived, Dr. Verwoerd, She was having tea with Dr. Verwoerd.
Did you see him in person?
Of course. It was Oom Hendrik and Tani Betsy. With Kooldrank and Cook Sisters. And we used to sing for them in the church.
Wow.
And I used to play outside in the garden with Punch, the bulldog, who always sniffed my bum, the bloody bastard. You know, bloody dung. And Oma, I sit down with Hendrik for the... What the hell were they doing?
Yeah.
Was she giving advice to him?
Maybe.
I don't want to even say, giving him a blowjob. I have not. You know, it's all, so all that unbelievable barbed wire of confusion, political confusion, has made me what I am, because you've got to confront it and see the absurdity in the obscenity of that politics that we believed. We never, ever thought it was wrong. Mm. The only person who hinted that there was life beyond apartheid was Sani Abada. And helped me.
And I just was thinking, your Oma would say, blaaskans, Pieter. He blowjob me. Blaaskans.
Oh, blaaskans. Yeah, blaaskans.
And there's a story about a rat and a cat with you and your sister that you didn't tell last night. That she had a cat and you had a rat. And then you...
Oh, yeah.
Patel?
City Hall, the Cape Town Orchestra, David Tidbull became a great friend of the family, and we were all in love with him. Sonny, ooh, the Tidbull, David Tidbull.
Tidbull.
My sister was in love with him, and I think I was in love with him as well. He was such beautiful. An Englishman with enormous dignity and glamour. And this great, great musician, and just brought music, more music into our family. And he would invite us to come to rehearsals, orchestra rehearsals. So we'd come to Cape Town with Ma, we'd go to the gardens, to that lovely Kefi and Itena.
Yeah.
And all the ladies were there. Hello, come here. And he like, hey, the cat is baby's cat, so kill a cat. And Mama said, no, we've got a cat. So Tessie has this kitten. An answer came cut. Ik toch, ik look at animal. So we go to the city hall, and Nick, across the city hall at the street was a pet shop. So I go in there and I buy a wit rot. So ek het my wit rot met die rooi oë en die rooi staart. Yeah. Tessie klein kitty. And I sit langs my car, we're sitting on the balcony, listening to this wonderful orchestra rehearsal with a little cat watching and a little rat watching. And that's what we did. So we took the cat and the rat, you know.
But you were very refined. You're refined, your family, eh? Because you started with classical music, everyone played. You sang. What did you sing? Like,
oh, now my father,
leader or what?
Well, he was the organist in the Dutch Reformed Church, and he did something I think quite revolutionary. He would take the best of the Catholic music and translate it into Afrikaans, so that the Afrikaanse kerk didn't realize he was bringing the Katholieke gevaar, and, you know, because the Inge kerk has got no imagination whatsoever. No. There's no music. There's nothing to look at. Net die donderse ou dominee wat daar sit en kak praat. So, and so he had a choir at the church, a wonderful choir that did Christmas programs every year and Easter programs, and I sang Panis Angelicus, nogal in Latijn, and met die kinders sang Kring. Do you know, the other aunt was Larika Raag by the show, and we were together in Pinelands. She was part of the choir as a little girl. I love her so much because she has got such a quality of greatness with her, and her music is eternal, and sy het hard gewerk, and she proved that she could do it her way.
Yes.
And she was in the choir as well. And P.V. Botha se kinders was ook in die koor oorspronklik. And we knew Tani Elise very well too. And Oom P.V. had altijd deurgeloop. Ja, so you would with the tongue in the finger and whatnot. But Pa introduced us to this wonderful music in with Afrikaans beauty, which he translated. He had a wonderful flair of writing.
Okay.
I've got a whole box of his short stories that he had published in the 40s and the 50s, all under pseudonyms.
Wow.
And they're beautiful stories. I am thinking of publishing them.
Publish them.
Yeah, they're just great. You know, so yes, you know, it's not that we were different. It's just that we were enjoying things that most people were not exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because my parents were quite old, my mother was 40 when I was born, 43 when my sister was born.
Ah.
And so most of my friends had parents who were at least 15 to nearly 20 years younger. So Pa and Ma was layers, and then would introduce young families to music and to entertainment and to performance, and to a background which was not just Afrikaans, which was also European, and I think very varied.
Excellent. Charmaine, you sit here
I know. I'm enjoying this.
Oh, my
know?
Goodness. We can just, like, I can look at him and listen to him yeah. for, like, days.
Yeah, hey? It's, yeah. like, so much wisdom there.
I know. So, and that so I'm still of that opinion that sometimes it's all right to just listen, you know, and because you don't get me quiet easily.
Sorry, he's the kind of person that if you at your show, you would not need to script it because mm-hmm. Peter would just like
go there.
Peter's stories would like dictate like the structure of the interview.
Yeah,
that is what's amazing about his life yeah. and career.
Yeah, but so, what's also nice about the echo of a noise is that it is a structured play. You know he's not mumbling cock there.
Yeah,
it's all been worked out, but within an improvisational style, which is fantastic.
Conversational. It's got to look like I'm chatting to you.
Yes. Yeah,
you
know. Yes, but when you said something like fake news, I thought, okay, that must have come in a bit later.
And that's the wrong thing. That's not a good idea. Every time I do it, I think, don't do this. You're putting something in at the wrong place. You know.
No, I quite enjoyed that. That was quite nice.
It's also like when I say National Key Point, Sonny's Kitchen. It's important, actually, because it gets a huge laugh of relief because people also feel it's not too far in the past.
No.
You mean?
Yeah.
Mas gefaarlik, because you could actually divert yourself and move into a different area.
No, it actually enhanced it for me.
I'm glad.
I always have questions. You know that.
Go.
Now, I was just wondering when you were talking about having lived in such denial for so long with so many different, you know, on different levels or layers within the society. What I wondered, did that trip you up and, you know, for how long? Or did it make you kind of go, you know, actually, now that I know better, I just want to tell everybody to let it out there.
How interesting question. I think most of that answer came after the age of 50. Mm. But really, truly, it took me a huge amount of time to allow things to become clearer.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I try not to intellectualize anything. I just want it to be there for what it is. When I write a play, it's a play about people. It's not a message. And that's why it's very interesting when I look at the plays I wrote during the 70s and the 80s, which were very political, and they were seen as political statements in those days, and banned as such in those days. When you read them now, they're just stories about people's lives against a background of political upheaval.
Mm.
They are better now. They're stronger now. And I think I also developed, and also mistakes. You know, there's something about making a mistake and not doing it again, because then it becomes a profession.
I like that. But you know, you've had such an impact on a lot of our society, and one of it is our comics, or some of the comics, and you know, it's people of color, comedians of color, that you go like, hey, that's Peter's words, you know, and you go, oh my goodness. I mean, just for someone who's now very famous, Trevor Noah's words. I mean, you can trace a lot of what you said. And then you go like, oh, you got that from Peter Dirk A.
Well, it's nice to hear that.
Wonderful.
But I hope I make it very difficult. I don't want people to have an easy way, because I don't want a copy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Xerox is boring.
Yeah, no.
You know, and I keep on saying to people, of course, steal everything you can when you're between the ages of 2 and 15. And then start remolding it. Mm-hmm. And ek het baie dinge gesteel, nee. Ek steel dit in Engels, dan sê ek in Afrikaans. Dan sê mense, oh, my slim.
But you see, that's it. You make it. And what he does with it is it makes it relevant, you know. It's not just, it's near look rake ding.
And relevance in comedy, and especially, you see, I see a difference between comedy and humor. Comedy is the joke, which you remember so they can tell it to somebody else. Humor is very seldom funny. Humor is very personal. Everybody has a sense of humor, which is their firewall against fear. Humor is you laugh at your fear. When you walk into a room and somebody stands behind the door and they go, boo, you skrik your milk weg. And then you see somebody you know and you go, ha, ha, ha. Now, ha, ha. It's not because it's funny. Mm-hmm. It's because you actually realize that it's not a threat.
Mm.
And I think where my work started making sense to me as well as people is with Adapt or Die, when I was taking very serious, unfunny things. You cannot laugh at apartheid, for God's sake. There's nothing as disgusting as the way we got away with it, as Christians, quote-unquote. But to actually laugh at the at the madness of the structure. I mean, this again happens so constantly when I'm in Darling with the kiddies from the township, die gemeenskap, van Darling, van onder, aan die andere kant van die railway line. Then the little ones come and we have concerts for the children who take piano lessons and then they play the piano. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they only go, ma, 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 ma. But they perform because I say to the teacher, performance is all, make them enjoy, not be frightened of performance. Nou sit ons en wag, want die kindertjies moet lavatory toe gaan en maandpa en almal se dag. And then the little girl, she says to me, yeah, she says, no, sit, and on the wall is all sorts of things, including a sign that says whites only. She says, well, Peter, that sign whites only, is that an apartheid sign? Ek sê, ja, why is it so small? I said, well, because it was on a bench in a park. No, it was on a bench in a park, whites only. So only white people could sit on the bench. I said, yeah, so someone like me who's not a white person can't sit on the bench. I said, yeah, who's going to stop? Who's going to stop me? I said, yes, God, you're in a democracy. You can sit on that bench. But remember, not so long ago, your parents and I could not sit on that bench together because of apartheid. Mm-hmm. No. Is that apartheid? I pity it sounds so stupid. How about that? Mm-hmm. Stupid. Yes, it killed. Make no mistake. But stupid. That's what I mean about humor. You know it's going to kill you if you look away. Don't look away from your fear. Look your fear in the eye. Be in charge of it. Give it a name. A friend of mine had cancer. We couldn't talk about it because you can't talk about it. And then she started talking about Frankie. Frankie. And I thought, what, has she got a boyfriend? She's so ill. She'd given her cancer a name, Frankie, and suddenly we could talk about Frankie. You know, so that is for me a very important balance. A lot of comedy is necessary, but a lot of humor is much more universal in that everybody understands fear, because that at the moment is controlling the world. We're sitting here today asking each other, what's going to happen tomorrow? Just because the politicians have made us frightened.
Do you feel a little let down after you've, you were so verbal, and it's, you kind of feel like, it's like you're on that treadmill and there's a similar cycle happening and you're just going, oh, bloody hell, just leave it all alone.
I've never thought that. And I've never thought anything was similar. When people say, where we are now is like apartheid, I say, you know, just do some Googling, darling. I mean, apartheid was, there was not a redeeming feature. Nothing came out of the apartheid system. Sadly, with very brilliant writers, the writings are pointless because it means nothing. But this is a democracy. So everybody's got freedom of so many things. And if things go wrong in a democracy, I think it's actually worse than what happened in the old South Africa. Because the politicians and the leaders knew what to do. And they said, to hell with you. I'm not going to do it. Careless is that dangerous, shocking word to use in a democracy. And that's the word I use about the government of today. I don't say ANC government. I say government. I have great respect for the ANC. I mean, it's a great liberation movement that could have put us against the wall and shot us for what we did and didn't. And I really hope that in this turmoil that we're going through now, that the majority of the ANC members who really, truly have thought many things through will just put their foot down and say, now we will also have a voice here.
Yes.
And so that the Skolis and the Gemors will just be put back into the box.
What do you think about what happened at Ahmed?
I think that's your last question now, because you're taking over the show.
Exactly. There are others.
Let me just answer that by saying... Because it was reminiscent of, you know, it's a gathering of sorts and...
It was theatre.
Yeah.
It was absolute theatre. I mean, it was just exactly the funeral, the wedding, the church service, the audience at the circus. That is the theatre.
The speak out session.
Where everybody,
funerals, because you could only speak at that time.
And it's right to do that. And it was a great, again, freedom of expression. I keep on saying to everybody, just take a deep breath and relax. We are actually a very healthy democracy, considering where we come from, considering we've only been doing it for 22 years. I mean, if you look at the rest of the world, I mean, the religious murder and hatred in some areas of the world, we have religious people who talk and share each other's religions in our country, live together, and really, truly, we've got so many things to celebrate. Fees must fall. Yes, we've had some enormous, important voices. Mm. Unfortunately, they get supplanted by the professional troublemakers, but we must know how to handle that as well. And humor is a great way to handle it. So I was delighted to hear what was being said at that funeral and at quite a few other funerals, including Nelson Mandela's funeral. And it just brings people together. I think South Africa has not been as united as they are today. I think for the first time since 27th of April 1994, there is a majority of all South Africans who suddenly speak or think the same, I didn't want to say slogan, but the same embrace of there is a legacy that we mustn't ignore. Mm. And this is a speed wobble. And, you know, the moment this man goes away, which he will, with all his Gupta bags being dragged behind him with all the pounds, then the hard work will start. And sadly, the next president will have to clear the sandbox of all the cuck that the previous black cat has left behind. Mm-hmm. So is it going to be Cyril, or is it going to be Nkosazana Dlamini, or is it going to be Minister Gigaba, who is now counting more than 200 million trillion, which the president can't do? At least he's got a minister who can. And
isn't
and
this
Pravin Gordhan, who's just speaking out and being unifying and being extremely inspiring and putting things into a healthy perspective with humor. Lots of humor in what he's been saying the last few hours.
Oh.
So it's good. And all of it is good. So, again, can I just say that there's too much material, Kazi. Mm. We could do shows that go on for 14 hours because we couldn't make it up. It wasn't what it did.
Absolutely.
Just learn to do the toito and learn how to sing Umshini Wam.
But I was thinking gig is 1,000, isn't it? So it's got like the thousands already in the surname, Gigaba.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah. I have one question.
Of course you may.
And then, I'm not going to ask five. There's just something that I've always wondered, right? And Shomaine is trying to throw me with water. So we've been spoiled. Okay, I have been spoiled with you in my life, right? With your influences, I laugh a lot, right? You know your skill. You know what you are good at. If you were not this Peter Dirk Ace, this very like outspoken sort of satirical character artist, right? Very respected in our community, white, black, and coloured. What would you have been?
Well, I don't know, because I've never thought that, except what I wanted to be was a teacher. I mean, I went to university to actually become a teacher. I was inspired by two teachers at school, my history teacher, Meneer de Tooy, who told us the wonderful Harry Potter stories of Afrikaner geschiedenis. You have Bloedrivier and Ngungunglou and all the
different.
And we liked stories, and I was riveted by the stories. And then Miss Aloise Nell, our English teacher, who said to me, and I say this in the show as well, when she said, I must write a poem in English. And I said, Miss Nell, I can't. She said, Peter, you can do anything. If you believe in it, and if you work towards it, you can do anything. And and that's when I went to university to become a teacher. I did my first year, and I got BA, and I did relatively well because I just learned how to smoke cigarettes. I wasn't doing other things yet. and then I was diverted by theater. Mm-hmm. I saw a girl in the canteen with a beret and sunglasses and a long cigarette holder. Prachtigs. And her name was Phyllis Punt.
Yeah, what a number.
Beautiful. And I looked at it and I thought, I also want to look like that. So I went to, I sat with the Afrikaanse meisie, Tom Pretoria, actrice. And she wanted to come back to drama school because Robert Moore was the professor of drama and she wanted more information and things from Robert. And I thought, drama. And she said, yeah, come and join. Come, let's come here. And Phyllis took me, shared a cigarette with me, and she took me to, and that's where I started. I signed up for the drama school.
Oh,
and in my first week in drama school, they said to me, oh, Peter Ace, I don't think that really you should try and be an actor. I don't really think you have the talent. And of course, I believed them, and so I became a stage manager. So I'm here as a trained stage manager who can also make my own dresses and wear them and act. That is, to me, the only background that you can have in theater, to know everything, and then you can really, truly specialize later on. at your, you know, once you choose what you want to do.
I want to ask a question that's a total segue to something that's not a segue. And that is, when did your mother die? Which year?
1969.
Did she die then?
Hmm.
She never saw you on stage.
Yes, she saw me on stage at drama school.
But what would she have done if you could sit her in her audience?
Oh, well, I wish I could now.
She would wet herself that. Laughing or what?
Oh, I just, you know, I never ever had a chance to talk about her about anything because I still didn't know how to, I didn't know how to formulate questions or have an opinion. I had no opinion until I was 44.
Wow.
I hid behind characters because everybody always said, "Hobo, you want Wiedenkies, yay." And even the critics, there's one critic, Michael Venables here in Johannesburg, always said, "Oh, this Peter Derge is always coming with his personality, and what does he know? I wish he'd be quiet." And, you know, and ha ha. He's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also helps, you know, those reviews always help because you have to analyze them and try to make sense of the nonsense. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
But I very often think, I wonder how my life would have changed if at the age of, say, 14 or 15, I could actually have discussed politics with my parents. We didn't talk it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I would say to, and find out from my mother that she had left Berlin because she was a Jew.
Mm. Mm.
And so that came into my life as well. So,
yeah.
You know, and one can always look back and say, you know, what would have happened in America if the Russians hadn't hacked so that Trump won, you know? I mean, because I really think the Russians actually won that election for Trump.
Absolutely.
And how the hell do they get rid of Trump? I mean, that's the big problem there.
Oh, God. Very, you know? Quickly, I hope.
And that's also going to be an interesting exercise. And Brexit, how are they going to solve that? So truly, all we have to do is just listen to each other. Yeah. Racism only happens because we are frightened of each other.
Mm.
And then we blame each other because what we see is not what we like. And when we actually hear and share together so many things that we enjoy, the Muslim person next door will bring the food that you can enjoy. And then you bring your food and you find out that your babuti actually had roots in their background. And
mm-hmm.
the jokes are wonderful and the celebration is wonderful and the weddings are in different ways and the funerals are in different ways. And there is no reason at all to blame anybody for something that doesn't exist, mm-hmm. like being you my enemy because you're different.
Wow. We have to do play an ad, unfortunately, because this is now the only sponsor we've got left of the show.
After the show.
Yeah. No, of the show. No, because of this, because I'm so failed backer. So we've got one sponsor. Let me just play this.
Stove poopies fantasy. Proudly brought to you by Sandwich Baron.
Okay, so Stoffpoopy means golden oldie. So after last night's show, there's only one golden oldie we can discuss. And that's... Who's that? Peter? Huh?
Mozart.
You're right.
Mozart is my old boyfriend. When I was 10 years old, I was in love with Mozart.
Well, I've asked Gavin to give us some pointers, but you must be quick, eh? Because I see the time's running and away with us. But about Mozart, and you can help him, because Peter knows his stuff. So don't talk shit, yeah?
Okay. This is your cue to be scared.
Say nickname was Wolfie.
Wolfgang Wolfie, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he was... There's a klomp aan goeders en wat hy wil. But baie interessant is that he's one of seven children. But five of the seven children died during infancy. So hulle het geboorte gegee, and like five of his siblings died. But there's still one sister... Well,
they fucked for backup.
He loved his sister. She was a great pal.
Mm. She was also a musician.
Mm, and very often Tizzy and I were sort of talking about Wolfgang and his sister. I'm trying to think of her name. I can't remember her name now. But Tizzy was the sister and I was Wolfgang. also playing the piano and doing concerts. Yeah, but what is he noch on your lace for Mozart?
And the other thing is, so usually, I don't know in that culture, but he was geboren and the volgende dag is hij gedoop.
Okay.
That's very weird.
Well, you know, again, in those days, you couldn't take a chance. After 3 days, the kid
of course,
is dead.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got to dwip them, otherwise they don't go to heaven. You know, it's common sense there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And then just like all of the usual
best classic composer ever.
And he was ook a failback, you know. He told rude jokes. He made rude poop grappe. He was really, the Amadeus film really was condemned. People said, you can't show Mozart.
Sacrilege.
Of course you can. The beauty of the man is that his music has got all the smells and all the tastes of humanity. It's just brilliant.
So what's wonderful. The story behind his grave? Do you know?
I'm sorry?
The story behind his grave.
Yes, the grave. He was thrown into a pauper's grave without a... nobody knows where it is.
Mm. So that is the truth?
That is the truth, yeah. But then again, it doesn't matter because he's still alive today, right here with us. Mm. Listen to him there.
There you go. I want to ask, I want to tell you that we have to stop. I want to thank you so much for being here. I did tell our story before you came. I told how I dressed you, Fatima Aisha, all that, because I thought you were not going to come. And then it's going to be the sad...
Well, when you dressed...
But I did that to him, but he never arrived.
But at least we did that. But thank you so much. It's a dream come true to have you here on the show. I loved, obviously, your show, Echo of a Noise, and it's at the Monte Cassino Studio. And then Evita, I see, is coming back again.
Evita's coming back in the end of May with Evita Beside Note and the Cactus of Separate Development.
Cactus!
And that reflects everything we're going through today is going to happen in that show because they're writing my material as we go.
Fantastic. And if I was in England, I would have said, thank you for being with us, Sir Peter de Gijs.
Meichitz.
Knighted.
Thank you.
Thank you, my darling.
Bye.
Bye.
CliffCentral.com.